I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro, Micro and Small Cap News on... What day is it today? Wednesday, that's it. My news, Wednesday. 24th of December. I haven't been drinking yet. 24th of December... 2025, Christmas Eve, of course. I'm recording this at 11 o'clock, so it's an hour and a half left of trading today. That's it. Oh, by the way, I mentioned yesterday, we're doing, my wife came up with this bingo idea for Christmas Day, you know, for the family. It was for the family originally. Yeah, let's do that. Then she started inviting people. And so she got very excited. We got 20 people. And so okay, that's enough, because I have to host this on Zoom on Christmas Day, 4 p.m. And then she had 35 people now playing. I said, we can't, that's enough. I don't know how we're going to do this. And now, it's surpassed 50. We're at 62 people playing on Christmas Day. I'm hosting it. Luckily, we've got our own WhatsApp group. And one of the people has sent me the bingo lingo. 3 and 5, 35. Jump and jive. Jump and jive, 35. One little duck, number two. Two fat ladies. 88. Yeah, in fact, there was Mick who listened to one of the members said, are you going to do the woke version? Because they've now got all woke versions. You can't say two fat ladies. Why not? It's ridiculous. Surely bingo should be immune to wokery, surely. 26, pick and mix. Two dozen, 24. 17, dancing queen. 1 and 7, 17, dancing queen. 40, naughty 40. It's like I didn't realise it's a saying for every single number. 5 and 7, Heinz varieties, 57. How do you do it? How do you, which way do you put it? 23, thee and me. Thee and me? What? Gateway to heaven, 27. 2 and 7, 27. Anyway, where's Santa? The rally hasn't really happened, has it, at all? But you know what? When I look at the stocks, and they haven't rallied in sort of, you know, Christmas Day, or they haven't rallied too much. I mean, it's the same. A couple of stocks up, a couple of stocks down, nothing really happening. And I always think, do you know what? There's always, you know, some stocks doing better than yours or worse than yours. And sometimes, if you want to, you know, pick yourself up, just look at the biggest fallers of the day. And as long as yours is not amongst those, you're fine. Because investing is about that. It's as much about, probably more about, avoiding the big hits as it is about picking winners. You don't need big winners if you avoid the big hits. That's the key. It's about risk. Do you know what? When we approach like days that, like today, Christmas or New Year, you know, significant dates in the calendar, it's often natural to reminisce, isn't it? Look back and look forward, question the path we're on, especially, I think, as you get older, you know, you realize there's more of life behind you than in front of you. And you're thinking, is life fulfilling? You know, do you know what? I love being an active investor. And to me, I realize what it is about investing. It's not sort of making money. It's about the learning curve. It gives me a sort of reason to get up and out of bed in the morning. You know, I love it. 7 a.m. RNS has come out. Am I going to have some good news on a stock I hold? Or is it going to be bad news? You know, and that's what life's about, isn't it? Having a purpose. Having a fulfilling purpose is the key to enjoying life, I believe. And you often hear people, you know, dream about winning the lottery. I remember I used to work at a radio station and a news presenter said, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I'd just walk in, hand my notice in. I thought, well, what do you do? What would you do? What are you going to do? You're going to sit on the beach for so long, can't you? I don't even like sitting on the beach, to be honest. But once you get, I mean, it's, of course, it'd be nice to have £100 million in the bank. But once you get to financial independence, the extra money won't make you incrementally happier, you know? You can only buy so much stuff. You know, when you've got the nice house, nice car, got a couple of holidays, what else do you do? What would be your purpose in life then? What would challenge you? And I think quite often the thought, the expectation of something happening is more powerful than it actually happening. You know, the process of achieving a goal, including all the experiences, the learning and growth along the way, is more valuable and important than just reaching the final outcome. Now, you know, when it comes to investing, for me, my aim is to find good businesses that I can invest into that will provide me, hopefully, with a positive return. It's a constant challenge. It can be frustrating. By heck, can it be frustrating? Literally, the amount of times I say, oh, what's the point of this? What is the point of bloody give this rubbish up? But when you get it right, it's great. It's what drives me on, you know? But then it's a game. You realise that. Life is a game, pretty much. And it constantly keeps my mind occupied. If you do not get this feeling with anything in life, investing, or anything like that, if investing is a chore, then I would suggest being an active investor. Invest in low-cost diversified funds. You'll get a decent return and it's less stressful. As for being an active investor, there's so many moving parts. It's a hobby where you can make money. And these moving parts keep me occupied. You know, it's not only about what you invest in, but what you do not invest in and how to manage the investments you make. It's so many little bits to it. It's unbelievable. That's why I love it. And this is primarily why I wrote the book, you know, just writing down the things I've learned, the mistakes I've made. And hopefully, like I say, if you can learn from your mistakes, you will get better slowly over time. But the hardest thing is to actually learn from them. And everyone can write down, even if you're, you know, just started investing, you could probably write down the obvious basic principles of investing. But the thing is, the mind, the discipline to stick to those principles, very difficult. If you crack the discipline bit to stick to your rules, you'll do very well. By the way, I don't know if you're a subscriber to the Investors Chronicle. If you're not, there's an article that went in there. I think it was last Friday. I don't know why I didn't mention it. But I had an article published in there. I think it's my third article now in the Investors Chronicle. Second or third? Third, yeah, I think it's third. But it's called Three Mistakes Small Cap Investors Should Avoid. And I'll sort of summarise it for you if you don't want to buy the copy of it. But number one, think risk, not reward. Because if you only think about the reward when you invest in a company, you will likely risk too much money. You say, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to get rich. The more I put in, the more money I make. And you may get lucky once or twice by putting big chunks of money in. But it can be fatal because if you get it right in the first time you go big, you're likely to do the same thing again and again. And it will only be a matter of time before you make an investment that goes the wrong way. And it may not be through, you know, your own fault. The research you've done may be sound, but the company may come out with some unexpected news, some left field, you know, unforeseen circumstances, and the stock can crash. Now, position sizing, you know, the size of your position, is the only factor that will save you in that scenario. If you've got all your money in that stock, game over. Don't let the game come over because, you know, playing the game is the thing. Number two, so think risk, not reward is number one. Number two, wait for the numbers. Try not to pre-guess what a company's results will be. Wait for them to release their update first. then invest. Now, if you want to take a small, it's very difficult. If I research a company, I put a lot of time, invest a bit of time and effort into researching a company. I want to invest there and then if I like it, you know? So if results are coming out, check the calendar, check the results, because they normally release trading updates and interim results, financial results around the same time each year. Check there's not some big news expected to come out. But if you want to invest anyway, again, position sizing, don't go too big. Don't bet the ranch. Now, if the news comes out and you've got a position and it's a small one and the stock goes up, that's fine. You'll often say to yourself, oh, I should have gone bigger than that. But it's fine. It means your investment thesis is absolutely correct. You know, this is a much preferable. Having a small position that goes up quite a bit is much more preferable than having a big position that goes down. So, you know, if it's a good company, and like I try to invest, you know, I invest in all of my stocks, apart from one, are profitable companies, and they're small caps on or micro caps that I think can, you know, multiply my initial return over a couple of years. So there's plenty of time to average up, and by averaging up, you leverage towards your winners, and averaging down, you leverage towards your losers. So there's plenty of time to buy more, but it's getting that initial position correct. And thirdly, concentrated diversification. So it sounds like it shouldn't work there, but I think, you know, there's no hard and fast rule, but I think having more than 20 stocks is hard to manage. If you're a professional fund manager, you've got people helping you, they can manage, you know, 50, 100 stocks, whatever. But as a private investor, you want to get to know the businesses. And so it's really hard to learn about 20 different businesses. So I think you should have less than that, or maximum of 20 maybe. If you want a diversified portfolio, buy a fund. You get a positive return, and it's a more efficient way of doing it. You know, the dealing costs of buying and selling more than 20 stocks adds up, you know? And as far as how few stocks you should have, I would say don't go below 10. Having sort of 10 to 20 stocks gives you a better chance of finding an exceptional outperformer, one that could transform your portfolio value, okay? See yourself as a gardener, and you've got the chance of planting 10 seeds or one seed. Why would you plant one seed? There's no guarantee it'll grow. Now, you've got a watering can, that's your money, that's your cash, all right? So you plant the seeds, and you give a little bit of cash, water, to each seed. And you wait. And you see which seed starts to sprout. And you give that a bit more water. There's certain seeds, certain investments, will never work out. There's no point giving them more water, those seeds. They're not going to grow. They're a dud. And also, by giving all of them water, or the ones not growing water, it means you can give less water to the ones that are working out. So that way, again, is about leveraging towards your winners rather than your losers. I hope that makes sense. Okay, let's have a little quick look at the markets. Like I said, we're nearly near close here, but let's have a look. FTSE 100, it's flat, 9883. Stock 600 in Europe, 589. Is that open? It was all-time high. Let's have a look. I think it is open, is it? Yes, it is open. S&P yesterday, up 0.5%, 6909. The FTSE small cap today, flat, 7475. Russell 2000 down 0.7% last night. FTSE 250 flat 22.356. What is going on? Flat. Come on, make a move for heaven's sake. What else are we? The FTSE All World Index is up all time high. It was up a tiny little bit, almost 0.1%. The AMOL share again pretty much flat to the positive a little bit. 7.59. What did the Dow Jones do yesterday? Dow Jones up. Almost a fifth of 1% yesterday, 48,422. Gold, it's rallying again, $4,515 an ounce. Copper to the tonne is 12,425. That's gone straight up last since what? Since 20th November. It's just climbed, a couple of down days, but pretty much climbed all the way up. Silver, up again, 1.15%. Again, it's now an apex there. It's like a rocket, a silver rocket, a gleaming rocket. Bitcoin. Again, struggling here. This may be, though, unless it breaks down, I think it could be forming a bottom here. Runaway, you know, we've got the range here from, I'd say, bottom of the range is 85,000, top of the range 93. If it breaks either one of those, then it's going that direction, of course, down or up. Dollar index down. What about bond yields? Are they moving today? Let's have a look. Yes, they are. The two-year government bond yield is at 3.73, down 0.5%. The 10-year is at 4.49, down 1/3%. And the 30-year is down 1/5% at 5.23. So it's good that all the yields down, of course. Bond prices go up, yields go down. It means, you know, less government debt repayment, basically. Let's look at the pound. The pound will buy you €1.14. It'll buy you $1.35. Anything else on that? That's pretty much it. There's not much news that day, apart from, I think it was a contract from, was it GMS, Gulf Marine Services, but I covered those yesterday, and the forecasts haven't changed. Sorry, I didn't have a sleep last two nights, so I keep waking up. You know, you get a certain age, I don't know why they'd be sharing this, but you tend to get up for the toilet more. And sometimes I can just go straight back to bed. Other times I can't. And literally, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, I can't go back to sleep. Other times I can. Today I woke up, it wasn't that early actually, about 4:45. Well, it's quite early, but not as early as the day before. And I just couldn't get back to sleep. And part of me thought, is it because it's Christmas Eve? No, you're 54, you maniac. It can't be because of Christmas Eve. Grow up. But I think it was. I couldn't go back to sleep. Anyway, listen, that's it. Hope you have a nice Christmas day. Enjoy the moment. And I did post that on let's have a look, as far as the day is concerned, look, 11:30 is closed, of course. Then we've got Thursday and Friday closed. Then Monday, it's back to normal opening times. That's 8 o'clock in the morning for the market till 4:30. Then Tuesday, 8 till 4:30. Then Wednesday, of course, it's another half day because it's 31st December, New Year's Eve. So 12:30 closed there. Thursday, it's closed. And then we have one day. So next week is Monday, Tuesday, full days, half day Wednesday, closed Thursday, open Friday. So there we are. So we'll speak to you next week. Have a lovely weekend. Have a lovely Christmas day. What day are we? Weekend. Yeah, back on Monday, is it? Yeah, Monday 29th. So next time we'll speak will be Monday the 29th. All right? So until then, have a lovely Christmas and speak ye next weeky.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.